It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or
prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. I'm Keith Caulfield, Senior Director of Charts at Billboard.
And I'm Katie Atkinson, Billboard's Deputy Editor Digital.
Hello, Katie.
Oh, hey.
It's Thanksgiving week.
It is.
At least in America.
Yes, that's
and
true.
And nowhere else.
That's not nowhere, right?
Yeah.
Other people celebrate Thanksgiving, but not this week.
I think Canada has Thanksgiving. No,
it's
maybe.
It's different, though.
It's a different time.
Well, y'all should think about, like, at least having a turkey dinner. Because it's delicious.
Yeah, stuffing, gravy.
Yes.
Pumpkin pie. Pumpkin pie.
Yeah, I'm making a pumpkin pie this week and an apple pie.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know, I heard something on NPR last night. It was a cooking show, and they were talking about how to fix, like, broken desserts.
Oh.
Like, so if your pumpkin pie splits.
Like the crust.
Like
oh, well, no, the pumpkin filling.
You can quickly make, like, a pecan sort of, like, gooey crumble. With, like, butter and sugar, spread it over the pumpkin top, broil it so it just gets, like, so it turns into, like, almost like a pumpkin.
And literally no one is complaining, and it looks beautiful.
And then it turns into a pumpkin pecan
Whoa.
Thing. Or you can just be cheap and just cover it up with, Cool Whip or something.
Fair enough.
Well, anyways, as always, the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop and minor cooking tips.
Pumpkin pies
on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the latest pop news, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop.
Today on the show, we've got news about Taylor Swift, the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, a rundown and review of some new Christmas songs, courtesy of me and Keith, plus chart chat about Kane Brown, The Beatles, and Panic at the Disco.
But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast provider so you won't miss a single episode. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit billboard.com/podcasts. Okay, let's get to the chart chat, the meat of the matter, the turkey,
yes.
As you will, the main course. Actually, no, this is more like the appetizer because we're rolling up to bigger things in the show.
That's right. Christmas music is obviously the main course.
Right. So this is more of just the aperitif when you walk in. You're given a glass of bubbly and perhaps you...
And a pig in a blanket.
Yes. That's the classy combo. First up, country singer-songwriter Kane Brown earns his first number one album on the Billboard 200 chart as his second full-length studio effort, Experiment, bows in the top slot. The set starts with 124,000 equivalent album units earned in the week ending November 15th, according to Nielsen Music. Now, of that sum, 105,000 were in album sales. Experiment is just the third country album to reach number one on the all-genre Billboard 200 chart in 2018.
You could have done a quiz, Katie, here. I think I could have gotten them.
Well,
they're right in front of me now.
They're right in front of you now.
You'll never know.
Those at home, you can play along. Quick, take a guess. I'll give you 5 seconds.
Imagine it's one man and one woman. I feel like that's a good hint.
That almost sounds like a country song. One man, one woman.
One man enters, one woman leaves. I don't know what that means.
it's a special country story about transitioning.
Yeah.
No? Too soon?
I really enjoyed that.
Oh, sorry. Kane follows Carrie Underwood's Cry Pretty and Jason Aldean's Rearview Town. Last year, there was only 4 country albums at number one, and all of them came in the last 4 months of the year.
Wow.
There was Thomas Rhett, Shania Twain, Kenny Chesney, and Luke Bryan.
Are they just capitalizing on that big, like, Thanksgiving, Christmas album sales situation?
Kane's album came out to capitalize, I think, sort of on kind of all interest around the CMA Awards.
Mm-hmm.
He was a presenter on the show.
Yeah, I don't know why he didn't perform. I almost feel like he must have turned them down because there's no chance they didn't ask the man who was the, like, presumptive number one album in the country.
It seems like there's a chance maybe he felt like maybe they didn't ask him.
Or maybe they were going to give him one of those lame side stage performances, and he was like, yeah, no.
Yeah, no.
Something.
It's like, I get to sing one verse of someone else's song.
Exactly, no.
And then coming up after the break. Exactly. That's not how Kane
that
Brown
was,
sounds.
That was the Lauren Elena impression, because that's what she got.
she sang one verse of a Dottie West song.
Uh-huh.
Right? And
yeah.
Then she was like, coming up.
Yeah, and then had to, like, do their, you know, teleprompter, you know, whatever. Anyway.
Can you imagine that conversation? It's like, we'd like you to perform on the show, but this is all we're giving you.
But I think that she's, like, a team player and is like, whatever you want, CMA, and just goes for it. And whereas Kane Brown's like, y'all, I'm Kane Brown.
I'm going to have the number one album in the U.S.
Yeah,
this
no.
week. All right.
Yeah, no.
All right, next up, the Beatles' self-titled album, often referred to as the White Album, re-enters the Billboard 200 at number 6. Following its 50th anniversary reissue on November 9th. The set climbs back onto the tally with 63,000 units earned, up just, you know, 1,500%, of which 52,000 were in traditional album sales, and that's up 5,596%. So basically it sold nothing the previous week.
Right.
But, you know, that's to be expected. I'm sure it actually sold a kind of a decent amount because most of the Beatles catalog sells well every week.
Yeah.
But obviously, when you're doing the 50th anniversary...
A negligible amount.
Or actually, I don't know. I don't have last week's number, but I'm sure it was more than nothing. The album, which was first released in 1968, hence the 50th anniversary thing, was remastered and reissued in a variety of formats, including some with a bevy of bonus tracks. I think there's a version with like 100 tracks or something.
What?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man.
There's like a super deluxe box set that has all sorts of like alternative versions, demo versions.
Are such things streaming?
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to dig into that.
I don't know how much of the deluxe version is streaming. It could be the whole thing.
Mm. It's my favorite Beatles album, so
really?
But I have not explored the new re-release yet.
Weirdly, despite the fact that it has songs that you know, like Back in the USSR, Obladi, Oblada, Blackbird, none of those, there were no singles actually promoted from the album, so nothing, no singles from it charted on the Hot 100 at the time that the album was out. Obladi Oblada eventually was released as a single, I think, in the 70s, but otherwise, like Sgt. Pepper's, there were no singles promoted from the
was
album.
Was that a choice of the band, not wanting to like lift certain songs over others or something?
You know, I don't know. I think they just made a
but
conscious...
But it still got radio play, right? It was just a matter of, since they didn't get released as formal singles, they weren't eligible for the chart.
Yeah, they didn't chart on the Hot 100. There's lots of album cuts that radio, I'm sure, played. Interestingly, though, when I was Googling, researching this, Hey Jude, I think it was Hey Jude? Hey Jude and I think Revolution...
Revolution is on the White Album. Hey Jude is not.
Revolution is on the...
Yeah.
Okay. So Hey Jude, I think, was recorded during the White Album sessions, but it was released as a standalone single, but not put on the White Album.
Oh, interesting.
And then eventually Hey Jude was put onto the Hey Jude album in the US, but then in the UK, I don't really know. Now we've fallen into a Beatles rabbit hole. Anyways, no singles were promoted from it. Bonus fun fact, the album, the White Album, has not been this high on the Billboard 200 since way back on March 29th, 1969, when it ranked number 10, which also... 10?
5.
5, thank you.
According to Keith's own notes.
In my head, I was already thinking of the next word I wanted to say, which was when it ranked number 5 that week back on March 29th, 1969, that was its last week in the top 10 in its initial chart run until this week. When it comes back to the top 10. And by the way, if you're wondering, this is not the first time something like this has happened where there's been like 50 years between top 10 visits. Like,
did it happen with Sgt. Pepper when they re-released?
Sgt. Pepper came back to the top 10 when they did their 50th anniversary a couple years ago.
It's kind of funny how like all these, obviously these 50th anniversaries for the Beatles are all coming like sequentially because they all happened sequentially. And so it's like going to go all the way through Let It Be in 1969.
Yeah, but I don't see them. I think they probably see that like Sgt. Pepper's and the White Album, probably like the two albums, if you're going to do a 50th anniversary, you do them for because it's now 50 years from 68. What do you have left after that?
Yeah, you have Let It Be, 1969.
But is that like I would think like Rubber Soul would be like a really significant album.
Oh, but that was 5 years
prior. It's
already
too late.
Yeah.
I don't know. It doesn't mean they can't come back for the 60th anniversary.
Yeah, I wonder how they made all those decisions. But I also remember them doing, like, the 50th anniversary of the Ed Sullivan Show, obviously, like, 64. 6 or 7 years ago, so.
Yeah, it must be fun just sitting around, or playing around in the Beatles archives, wondering what we can do with all that stuff.
That's what, how do you say his name? Gilles Martin?
Gilles Martin.
That's what he's doing right now.
Yeah, so. George Martin's son, George Martin, was a producer of all the Beatles stuff.
Indeed.
Okay, lastly, over on the Billboard Hot 100 Songs chart, as Ariana Grande spins a second week at number one with Thank You, Next. There's big news in the top 10 as Panic at the Disco scores its second top 10 and first in over 12 years, as High Hopes rises 12 to 8. It also climbs 6 to 3 on the radio songs chart and 6 to 4 on the digital song sales chart. Now, Panic hasn't been in the top 10 since its debut hit, I Write Sins, Not Tragedies, hit number 7 back in August of 2006. The act's 12-year, 2-month, and 3-week wait between top 10s, according to Gary Trust, the manager of the Hot 100 chart, is the longest since Prince, following his April 21st, 2016 death, returned to the top 10 that year with Purple Rain and When Doves Cry after 21 years, 11 months, and 2 weeks. His first visit to the top 10 since The Most Beautiful Girl in the World ranked in the top 10 back in 1994. So Prince was last in the top 10 in 1994 with The Most Beautiful Girl in the World. They had to wait until, unfortunately, his passing in 2016 when Doves Cry and Purple Rain came back to the top 10.
So Brendan Urie probably likes this situation a little better. Did not have to pass away to get there.
Yes. Panic ends the longest top 10 drought between new top 10s. Because obviously Purple Rain and When Doves Cry had already been in the top 10.
Right.
New top 10s since Paul McCartney, who took 29 years and 2 weeks between Spies Like Us back in 1986 and 4 or 5 seconds with Rihanna and Kanye West in 2015. God.
It's Thanksgiving week. Can we go home now? Is it time to go home?
We're running on the tryptophan. All right. So we're moving away from the pigs in the blanket and sparkling cider or champagne, whichever you prefer.
Is this the first course now before our main event?
I guess so. We're moving on to some sort of salad option.
A fresh salad.
What else would be good for like a first course?
Pro tip, though, do not eat much of the salad. You need to save room for the main course. The salads are not important.
You know, some people just serve everything at the same time.
Yeah, actually, we're those people. We do that. Like, and it's overwhelming.
Well, maybe it would all be on the table at the same time. You can just start with like I'll just eat salad first.
If you were doing like a formally served dinner, I can imagine you would sit down, have a salad, and then somebody would bring out the other courses. But we're just like buffet styling it, throwing it on the table all at once.
I don't think anyone's throwing food there, but
I don't know.
We'll find out.
My 15-month-old son might be.
Well, so salad and Taylor.
Time for Taylor.
Yeah.
Less than a month after becoming a free agent, Taylor Swift announced Monday that she has signed a new worldwide record deal with Universal Music Group through UMG's Republic as her U.S. partner. In an Instagram post announcing the deal, Swift posed with Universal Music Group chairman and CEO Lucian Grange and Republic Records CEO Monty Lippman and included a message about the move saying, quote, I'm ecstatic to announce that my musical home will be Republic Records and Universal Music Group. Over the years, Sir Lucian Grange and Monty Lippman have been such incredible partners. It's so thrilling to me that they and the UMG team will be my label family moving forward. It's also incredibly exciting to know that I'll own all of my own master recordings that I make from now on. That being the biggest deal of right here. This is what she was looking for in her new deal. The move means she's departing Big Machine, which has literally been her only label home since she was 14 years old.
Big Machine signed her.
She also thanked Scott Borchetta in her her Instagram message.
Who runs Big Machine.
And basically, one of the biggest things that people are taking away from this as well is that under the terms of the deal, I'm moving on to something early. In her Instagram post, she also advocated for fellow artists, making it a negotiating point that any sale of UMG's Spotify shares result in distribution of money to all of their artists, which is the thing that people are kind of zeroing in on because Taylor sort of is known to try to look out for all artists when she's making these sort of moves. You remember the Apple Music deal from a few years ago where she insisted that for her and for all artists during Apple's free trials that they should be compensated for their music. So that's the part that Twitter's really zeroing in on. But Keith, what do you think about this whole situation?
Well, I wonder. I wonder if it was even like it was even going to happen that she would stay with Big Machine, because Big Machine Records is distributed by Universal Music Group, and she Big Machine has long worked with Republic Records to promote their kind of pop leaning things to pop radio.
Yes.
So Republic Records has promoted Taylor to pop radio.
She's had a relationship with these entities her entire career.
So
yes.
Maybe it was just one of those things where, you know, in a direct, she can make a direct deal with Universal as instead of going through a middleman, meaning Big Machine.
There's also
maybe Big Machine wasn't going to give her masters.
I was going to say, so our colleague Melinda Newman, she wrote this article, and she said that sources are also saying that UMG is still possibly going to buy Big Machine, which in addition to having, you know, having Taylor's future recordings would mean that they'd be buying her 6 albums so far. Like, that's what that deal would bring them, because she doesn't own the masters for those albums. And so UMG is trying to accumulate that too.
Interesting.
Reportedly.
Wow.
So anyway, a little business news for our Pop Shop listeners.
Well, it's been something of much debate. You know, once people realized that Taylor was on the market, you know, what would she do? Would she start her own label? Would she, I read somewhere where people were saying that she might just have like a direct distribution deal with Spotify somehow.
Oh, I didn't hear about that. The thing I kept hearing was that maybe she would just do a publishing deal with there's companies that specifically like only take 5% of the rights of your publishing or something. Mm. And they cater to big artists like this who want to keep 95% and know that they don't need that extra promotion that a label, you know, gives you anymore.
I mean, she still needs... Well, I don't know. We don't know what she needs.
Oh, I guess I should also say she kind of teased that new music is on the way from this Instagram post.
I can't
post
wait
as
to
well.
Share with you something.
What's coming? So
next week she drops a single. Like like this Friday she drops a new single on
this
Black Friday.
This is her timing. She does. Usually it's earlier in November, but November is definitely a Taylor month in previous years.
Well, the album only came out a year ago, though.
Yeah, it's true.
Normally it's a 2-year
cycle. Every 2 year, yeah.
But but Reputation came out, what was it, a year late.
Maybe she just wanted to get it locked in before she started even working on new things. So it's like she's got a budget for her album and she's got whatever worked out.
It'd be super interesting to see how this changes things, or if it really changes anything that we see at all.
It probably won't change things for her fans and for her music, I would think.
Changes things for Big Machine.
Yeah, change things for Scott Forchetta specifically.
Goodness gracious.
So since it's Thanksgiving week, I thought we could talk a little about the 92nd annual Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Oh, so good.
How insane is that? 92nd year of this parade.
I bet you there's people that have been around as long as the parade has been going, and they probably watched it every year.
I hope they interview. Like, I hope Al Roker needs to interview that 100-something-year-old lady.
Find them on the parade route somewhere in New York.
Oh, outside. It's going to be very cold, elderly people. Stay inside.
Okay. What if it snows?
Yeah, that'll be magical.
Okay, anyway, sorry.
Okay, so the parade is going to be at 9 a.m. Eastern during NBC's Today Show, and it boasts a typically star-studded lineup. So let's just talk a little bit about some of the performers. Obviously, we have Diana Ross and family performing, including for sure Tracee Ellis Ross and Evan Ross, her two kids, two of her kids. And they're going to be performing a song from her new Christmas album.
Hmm.
I know you love Diana.
Well, who doesn't love Diana Ross?
That's true.
Now, the songs on the album are songs that were previously released some time ago, and I don't think any of them feature any of her family members.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see what arrangement she does to include
maybe
the fam.
Maybe, like, the family is... Maybe it's one of those things where it's like, let's all go to... Hey, the phone's ringing.
It's a way for the Ross family to spend Thanksgiving together. They're like, yeah. Oh, Diana's already booked for the parade. Let's just hop on the float.
Or maybe they're like, hey, let's all go to New York and have, like, you know, a lavish, like, fabulous, like, New York Thanksgiving special.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think maybe her family would just be, like, surrounding her while she sings the song.
I would hope. I mean, Evan is a singer himself. He'll probably jump in. Tracy's very talented.
Will Ashley Simpson be there?
I have not seen Ashley in the literature about the event, but it seems very likely if Evan's there.
Okay, anyway, moving on.
John Legend.
Yeah, who, great.
Obviously, new Christmas album. Bad Bunny.
Noted holiday singer, Bad Bunny.
I'm really interested to see
what Spanish language
do. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be something in Spanish.
Feliz Navidad.
Oh, well, that's a good idea.
Bad Bunny doing Feliz Navidad.
Yeah, I would totally be there for that.
That, I don't think that'll happen.
Some sort of remix?
What's he going to do? Like his verse of I Like It?
Yeah. I actually have seen him perform. I saw him perform at the iHeart Daytime stage.
His part of Mia?
He did his part. Mia wasn't out when I saw him, but he did his part of I Like It, and he did obviously his own big hits. Yeah.
It's a family show. You got to rein it in a little bit.
It feels like I Like It makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
It'll be interesting.
And he'll do like his ad libs over the chorus. Kane Brown, we might have mentioned him earlier.
Sure.
LMA, mm-hmm. Boot Up for Christmas.
Right.
No, I was just trying to think.
Hang your boots up by the stockings? Hang your boot up? No?
Santa, hang your boot up.
Boot up. Hang your boot ups.
Oh, this is not scripted. That was just off the top of our head.
Yeah, none of this is, you can tell. That's why the phone rings all of a sudden.
Martina McBride, who also has new Christmas music. Pentatonix, who also has new Christmas music.
Martina has new Christmas music?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, whoops.
Rita Ora.
Who doesn't have new Christmas music, but she has new music.
Sugarland.
Uh-huh.
Anika Noni Rose.
Yeah.
Bare Naked Ladies.
Mm-hmm.
Leona Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
Allie Brooke.
Who has a new Christmas cover of Last Christmas.
We might be talking about that a little later. Mm-hmm. Also a guest of the podcast recently. Wait, 2 years she's done it in a row, right? Last year and the year before. This year.
Did what?
She's been on the show, right?
Podcast?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You're like,
I thought you were talking about the Thanksgiving Day Parade.
I'm like, Bozzy, who is also performing.
Yeah, friend of the podcast.
Ashley Tisdale, who's making a return to music. She's got a new album coming.
Oh.
Carly Pierce, country star.
Uh-huh.
Bryn Cartelli, who was Kelly Clarkson's voice contestant.
There's still more.
Jack and Jack.
Uh-huh.
Mackenzie Ziegler and Johnny Orlando.
Who?
Tegan Marie. Mackenzie Ziegler is Maddie Ziegler's little sister.
Okay, I was going to say, did you mean Maddie?
No, I did not.
I was like...
I believe Mackenzie was also on Dance Moms, but she's been a singer. Like, she's been putting out music and has a pop career.
And who's Johnny Orlando?
We actually premiered a song of his. He's, like, super popular with the tweens.
Is he, like, a YouTuber?
I don't know where he came from.
Viral
but he's
sensation?
Really, really young. Like, he's, like, 15 or something.
He sounds like he's, like... Coming up next on Z100, Johnny Orlando with a top 6 at 6.
So the first time I saw his name, I remember I told you it sounded like Greg Brady's pop star alter ego. What was it? Like Johnny Bravo?
We're never going to...
Oh, I'm so sorry.
We're never going to get Johnny Orlando on the podcast now.
No, we did premiere one of his songs. It was a really catchy song.
Oh.
And he has a huge social following, like crazy social following.
Great, now they're going to come after us.
No, they'll love us. We brought up Johnny Orlando.
I wonder if that's his real name.
It doesn't seem likely.
Again, not scripted.
Know. Oh,
okay.
My God. The kids are going to be mad at us.
Well, the Thanksgiving Day Parade will be hosted by Hoda Kotb, Savannah Guthrie, and, of course, Al Roker.
Yes. Do you watch the parade every year? You love it.
Love it. I feel like I missed the live version because it's live on both coasts, I think. Maybe?
I hope not. Because I'm not trying to wake up at 6 a.m.
They replay it.
Okay, yeah,
They replay it, I think. And
at 9, okay.
Yeah, and there's also like a sort of a virtual interactive thing that you can do on YouTube, I think.
Oh.
Where like you can tune into, I think there's like gremlins out in the hallway in case you hear some rumbling. I'm just waiting for someone
Johnny
to
Johnny Orlando
this.
Fans
are out there. Let me in. Anyway, no, I think if you go to YouTube, there's going to be like a sort of a virtual interactive like view where you can like toggle a camera or something.
Oh, that's fun. See all the floats?
I think so, but not really sure exactly how that works. But yeah, I watch it every year and it's always fun because like the first hour is, you know, Broadway shows and the Rockettes and dance troupes.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last 2 hours are the parade proper. When we get to see all these stars, you know, sing and dance on floats and lip sync their way down, you know.
They lip sync because they could not literally do live audio from those floats.
I've always wondered, and I think I asked, we had Sarah McLachlan on 2 years ago when she was, she was part of the parade. Go back and listen to that. And I asked her something about if you ride the float the entire time. And I think she said no.
Hmm.
Or I think I read that the celebrities only, like, get onto the float right before they get to the TV cameras.
Oh, so then it's just operating as a float without them the rest of the time.
Yeah.
Which is why they're all themed and fun, like, in addition to the celebrity.
Right.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then all of a sudden, like, you know, on the Purina, you know, puppy chow float, here comes Pizzatonics. It's like, sure, that total makes synergistic sense.
Well, even though it's the Thanksgiving parade, it's also very, very Christmassy. A lot of Christmas music.
It ends with Santa.
Yeah, it ends with Santa. This is the whole point. So let's talk about some new holiday songs that could be impacting our charts in the coming weeks as we march toward Christmas.
Yeah.
Everyone from John Legend, Katy Perry, to Tyler, the Creator, and RuPaul have new holiday tunes. Mm-hmm. You always hear those four names
and
in
Johnny
the same
Orlando.
Sentence. I don't know if he has any new music. Let us know, Orlandizers.
Is that the name?
Just to make that up.
He's probably, I'm sure he has new music. I don't know about new Christmas music.
Yeah, we do not know. First up, we have Fifth Harmony's Ally Brooke covering Wham's classic Last Christmas. So let's take a listen.
Last Christmas, I gave you my heart. But the very next day, you gave it away. This year, to save me from tears, I'll give it to someone special.
Okay, Keith. What do we think about this one?
Oh, I've got notes.
Yeah.
Katie and I...
Pull out the notes.
Katie and I listened to these songs earlier, and we took independent notes. We have not talked about any of these songs, and anytime one of us made a facial expression at the other, we said, save it for the podcast.
Yes.
So, here's my notes. I was listening to it thinking, is this going to turn into, like, an EDM jam? I felt like the beats were kind of, like, percolating enough where I'm like, is this going to be, like, last Christmas, I gave you my heart? Like, a really... And it didn't turn out that way. I thought it was odd that there was a bit of kind of like vocal, like vocoder action, like where her vocals were processed. And I don't personally think that Ally Brooke needs that, but I can see what they're trying to do with like sort of a kind of like a new modern twist on a classic song. And I think it's hard in general to cover such a familiar song that is so identifiable with one voice, specifically George Michael.
Well, and I also think that the production didn't change enough to really like let you know what year it was coming out in. Like it sounded to me like they used a lot of the same synthesizers that were in the original version, which makes it almost sound dated, even though it sounded, you know, like modern and forward thinking when it came out.
Yeah.
And I love Ally as
well.
But to your point about the vocoders, I think it made her voice almost unrecognizable. Like if you had played it for me without telling me who it is, and I know her voice from, you know, her previous efforts. Like she has actually done some, you know, EDM songs. You hear her awesome voice. You couldn't really hear it in this.
I mean, it's perfectly pleasant. It's lovely. I think, you know, maybe, perhaps some of the execution could have been a little bit different.
I'm excited to hear solo music from her, though. So this is just like a fun little Christmas trifle, and we'll wait for the main course.
Christmas trifle.
as we
are now in the main course of the show.
Exactly.
You've now had some stuffing, and we're moving on to maybe some gravy action and some biscuits or something. Well, next up, we've got John Legend featuring Esperanza Spalding, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. It's from his new album, John Legend's first holiday album, A Legendary Christmas. Let's take a listen.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on, our troubles will be out of sight.
All right, what do we think of Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas by John Legend featuring Esperanza Spalding?
Okay, so in contrast to the Ally Brooke song, which I was saying you don't know when it came out, this one very intentionally has a very classic sound.
Yes, it could have been the 50s.
Yes, they definitely, it's very referential. And actually, the entire Christmas album, like the cover, if you've seen the cover, it's Bing Crosby's album cover, but it's John Legend.
Yeah.
And this whole song has like a total Bing vibe. And Esperanza Spalding is a jazz artist, and so the jazziness is like front and center. The kind of scatting and harmonies from her, and then also the horn breakdown in the center. The whole thing is just classic Christmas, and I'm here for it.
I Googled who did the horn, and it was a name I didn't recognize. I was like, is there like Chris Bodie?
Oh, yeah.
That gentleman, I was like, is he on here? I was like, is it some notable person? And I didn't recognize
an amazing studio jazz musician.
I wrote, how did it take this long for John Legend to do a Christmas album?
Yes.
He's just perfect for Christmas music. And you get the feeling that, you know, this album could be one of those albums that turns into a seasonal favorite.
I totally agree. We'll be hearing this on radio for years to come.
Yeah.
For sure. Okay, so next up, we have Pentatonix featuring Kelly Clarkson. The song is called Grown Up Christmas List, and it's from Pentatonix's new holiday album, Christmas Is Here. So let's take a listen to that. No more lies torn apart. It was would never stop. In time would heal our hearts. Okay, what do we think about this one?
I think it's perfectly fine. I think it's nice to have Kelly in the mix. Kelly, who had her own Christmas album a couple years ago, Wrapped in Red, with the amazing Underneath the Tree.
Yes.
So that's a new Christmas standard. I think it's Pentatonix are really great at what they do, and they are just superb at doing holiday music because there's something special about hearing a cappella voices arranged for Christmas music.
It sounds like Christmas carols.
It sounds like carols. It sounds like, you know, carolers are coming to your door.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so great. And they know that they're great at it, and they haven't sort of missed a step yet.
They definitely just provide the backup to Kelly on this one.
No, she's the star of the show.
Yeah, here. There's no, like, vocal, you know, vocals at the forefront from the Pentatonix crew. I do have to say, so we looked up that Kelly had actually performed this for an American Idol Christmas special back in 2003.
Yeah, and, so 15 years ago.
Yeah, and this song is actually an Amy Grant song originally, Grown Up Christmas List, and I have to say that the line that got me that made me think, like, well, that's crazy considering she covered this 15 years prior. The beginning of the chorus says, no more lives torn apart. And I guarantee you Kelly was thinking about, like, the immigrant families getting literally torn apart. Like, because she's written about that or tweeted about that. It, like, to me, took, like, a super political spin when I heard that.
I wasn't even paying attention, unfortunately.
I'm not going to put thoughts in her mind. I don't know if that was intentional or if she was just like, oh, I love singing this song. I sang it 15 years ago. Let me do a proper showcase for it. And, I mean, it sounds amazing. But I think that the lyrics, when you really listen to them, just seem to have a really, like, just seem really relevant right now.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, well, next up, we have pop superstar Katy Perry, and she has given us a new holiday track, which is exclusive to Amazon, at least presently, and it's called Cozy Little Christmas. Here's a sampling. Nothing lights my fire, runs me up, baby, like you do. Just want a cozy little Christmas here with you. Okay, what do we think of Cozy Little Christmas from Cozy Little Katy?
I can already hear it in a Target commercial.
You think it's for Target?
I don't know if it's for Target.
Maybe it's like for an Amazon commercial?
It just sounds like a commercial song. And yes, maybe that was Amazon's intention this whole time. Like, let's line you up. We're going to release it as an Amazon exclusive and then put it in our commercial.
Mm.
It's just tailor-made for a commercial. Mm. And I also wrote silly AF. It's just so silly, but it's very Katy. You know, she does a little riff it, like, in the middle or toward the end where she's like, you know, take your Cartier and take your Chanel. Like, oh, actually, leave the Chanel. So it's just goofy. It's goofy Katy.
I liked her. There were some really fun couplets in there. Something about, you know, drinking some whiskey and getting frisky.
Yes.
I thought, you know, I mean, the song in general is one of your sort of garden variety, I don't need anything at Christmas except for you.
Yes.
Type tracks.
Just which, stated a different way.
Yeah. And yes. It's cute. I thought it was interesting that at some points her vocal sounded a lot like Zooey Deschanel.
Oh.
Because she has that.
Maybe she was kind of like channeling that kind of breathy. Actually, you know what it is almost like a Marilyn Monroe thing too.
It was not the whole song, just certain parts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was very, it's clearly identifiably Katy Perry.
Yeah.
But there were just certain like lyrics that she would say in sort of a boo boop doo sort of voice
for sure.
That made me think of Zooey.
That's funny.
So
next up, we have a curveball. Tyler, the Creator's You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch. It's from the soundtrack to the new animated film, Dr. Seuss's The Grinch. Tyler also has his own EP that features kind of like companion music inspired by the film.
Mm.
And it's fittingly titled Music Inspired by Illumination and Dr. Seuss's The Grinch. So let's take a listen now. You're a monster. Your heart's an empty hole. All right, thoughts on this one?
Well, it's weird, but not unexpectedly weird because it's Tyler, the Creator.
I literally first note is expectedly weird.
Oh.
So that works out.
I mean, it sounds like you're a mean one, Mr. Grinch, and I think he has like sort of an interesting kind of vaguely hip-hopian twist on it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think this he does two songs on the soundtrack. This is one of those two songs. By the way, the two songs he did for the soundtrack are not on his Inspired By EP. So he's probably working within the construct and constraints of doing a song for a movie and not getting too wackadoodle. That said, it's kind of true to the song.
Yeah, and as you said, it is, you know, a hip-hop inspired take, but it also has a chorus of children, which kind of brings like the Charlie Brown vibe, you know, like this chorus of children singing in the background.
Next up, Tyler, Creator does Charlie Brown Christmas.
And it also kind of reminded me a little of the songs that Pharrell did for Despicable Me, because he actually did the whole soundtrack for that movie. And he had an also kind of, it was like, it's almost like a cartoon kid version of hip hop. And that's what the Tyler thing kind of sounded like to me, too.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, last, a true diva. RuPaul has a new holiday album out this year titled Christmas Party, and it includes a new song featuring Markaholic called Hey Sis, It's Christmas. Take a listen.
Hey sis, it's Christmas. Come on over, bitch, you can't miss this. Don't need gifts, I can't, I get a witness. We gon' have the best Christmas that ever existed.
Red thong, sing a song. Gingerbread men gonna ping your bong.
All right, what do we think of this chestnut? Hey, sis, it's Christmas.
Oh, chestnut. That's a good one. It is super fun, and I was most excited about all the, like, really fun rhymes in it.
So, and it's very fast. You have to listen very closely.
And you can tell from the title itself. I mean, Hey, Sis, It's Christmas is just an amazing...
Hey, sis, it's Christmas.
Keith and I just kept, like, singing just that line over and over again
today.
It's
just stuck in our heads.
Yeah, so you're welcome, because it's also stuck in your head.
It's just great.
But I literally wrote down, sis, Christmas, Mrs., existed, bish, miss this, and witness are all words that RuPaul rhymes.
Wow.
For Hey Sis, It's Christmas. And it's so fun.
I wasn't paying attention that closely. I mean, I was, and some of the lyrics I didn't even really understand.
I looked up the lyrics to write down the little rhymes.
Oh, you cheated.
I did my research.
As the kids say, it's a bop.
Indeed.
Or it's a slap, as some other kids might say.
I wouldn't say that.
As I said, the kids say it.
Yes, not us adults.
I know. I've heard Dinah Jane say the word.
That's right. She did say that.
So if she can say it, she's still a kid.
Yes.
Ish. I think I'm fair.
Okay.
Feel free to tell me if I'm wrong. Well, that's just the tip of the iceberg, or snowman, in terms of holiday tunes this season. There are also deluxe reissues of Gwen Stefani and Sia's recent holiday albums, new holiday efforts from Eric Clapton and Ingrid Michaelson, and many, many more.
It's almost Christmas.
To me, it was Christmas when November 1st happened.
Oh, I have my own very own Grinch in my house who gets mad at any Christmas reference like prior to Thanksgiving.
Baby Cal?
That would be Dan.
Oh,
of course, Baby Cal's gonna be on my side and want it to be Christmas year round. So.
Baby Cal's just like, whatever mommy wants. He can't talk yet, really.
He has a few words, but not that many.
Can he say Santa?
Oh, I should start teaching him that one. That'd be a good one.
He'd probably be like, Anta.
He says bubbles. That doesn't have anything to do with Christmas, but it's fun.
Are children at that age really good at like words that are like two syllables with the same syllable repeated?
He's just good at bees. He's good at bees in general. So baby, bubbles, bear are all like his favorite words right now. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Have you taught him how to sing?
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's what I'm going to start next.
Bye-bye-bye. Okay. And now it's time for the chart stat of the week. Years ago this week, Pat Benatar's rock anthem, Love is a Battlefield, reached the top 10 on the Billboard Hot 100. The track stepped 13-7 on the Hot 100 dated November 19th, 1983, later peaking at number 5. It was the second of 4 top 10 hits for Benatar and won the singer a Grammy Award for Best Rock Vocal Performance Female. Are you a fan of this track,
Katie? Oh, of course.
Of course. Who isn't? The track was memorably accompanied by an elaborate, story-driven music video that was directed by Bob Giraldi, who had previously directed Michael Jackson's Beat It, and choreographed by Michael Peters, the same man who choreographed, with Michael Jackson, the King of Pop's Thriller and Beat It videos. The video for Love is a Battlefield was a staple on MTV and featured Benatar as a runaway who becomes a dime a dance girl in New York.
Oh, man.
Now, do you know what dime a dance girl is?
No. I mean, I can make my assumptions.
It's, well, you've seen the video.
Yes.
It's probably been a long time. So it's an old fashioned concept that dates back decades. But basically, the idea is that, I mean, I think they probably tried to clean it up a bit for the video.
Sure.
Just not make her like a hooker. So, but they work. These women work in a club, and men go there and pay for dances with them. And it doesn't suggest that anything else happens, but you can kind of see that it could be like a gateway to something worse.
Sure, sure.
Anyway, her and the other girls in this club revolt against the owner of said establishment, and they have sort of a dance off, and they bust their way out, and it's just a great video. I mean, it's just like classic, perfect sort of cinematic. Perfect.
Yes.
Great.
I can like instantly picture what she's wearing in that video.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of sort of flowy.
It's like really nice rag.
Lots of rags.
Off the shoulder.
Lots of rags,
yeah.
Tied up.
Yeah.
Lots of like shoulder shimmy shake,
oh, yeah.
Shimmy shake, shimmy shake.
Yeah, a lot of this.
Doom, doom, doom. Okay. fun fact, Benatar's You Better Run was the second video played on MTV when the network premiered on August 1st, I believe, 1981. Well, definitely was 1981.
Mm-hmm.
The first video on MTV was actually the Buggles' Video Killed the Radio Star. So obviously,
a lot of people know that trivia, but they don't know that Pat Benatar was second.
Pat Benatar was a core artist of MTV.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the early 80s.
Yeah.
So there you have it. 35 years ago this week, Pat Benatar's Love is a Battlefield. Whoa, 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 whoa. Hit the top 10.
Young.
Heartache to heartache. We stand. Hit the top 10 on the Billboard Hot 100 chart. Love is a battlefield. We are strong. Okie dokie.
Have you ever seen 13 going on 30, Keith?
I haven't, but I think that Levels of Battlefield
is in. There's a crucial scene for 13 going on 30, because Jennifer Garner's character is literally 13 years old in the body of a 30-year-old woman, and she hangs out with all these, like, school-age girls and teaches them that song. Like,
oh,
it's really great.
Because it was clearly...
Because she was in the 80s and they were in modern day.
Did they have to dress
you know.
Up like Pat Benatar?
They did like a recreation of the dance in a bedroom, I remember.
Oh,
yeah, it's great.
Lots of shoulder shimmy shakes.
They're like, you're so... Because she's like, love is a battlefield. And they're like, you're so wise.
Oh, I avoided falling into a rabbit hole because I was going to give more information about the songwriters of the track.
Oh, man.
Holly Knight is one of the songwriters, and Mike Chapman's one of the other songwriters, and I'm just falling into the rabbit hole. But, like, Holly Knight also co-wrote The Best, or Better Be Good to Me, and The Best for Tina Turner.
Mm.
She co-wrote Scandal's The Warrior.
Oh, that makes all the sense in the world.
She co-wrote Never for Heart.
Okay.
And then Mike Chapman produced a lot of Blondie songs. Mm. Hot Child in the City, just tons of other songs. So it's just like the perfect storm of just like the perfect artist, the perfect voice, the perfect video, the perfect songwriters adds it to a perfect great
magic
song. Yeah. Okay, so what song should we go out on?
I mean, obviously we already talked about Bye Bye Bye.
Of all things, you just remember that. Not a holiday song, not a Christmas song.
I gotta teach Cal this. It's top of mind.
All right. Bye, bye, bye.
Bye. Bye, baby, bye, bye, bye. Bye, bye. Don't really want to make it tough. I just want to tell you that I had enough. It might sound crazy, but it ain't no lie. Baby, bye, bye, bye.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.